Well, if you listen to Coast on a regular basis, you know Oliver Williams. Oliver Williams is the website editor for the time travel story of John Titor. You first saw John Titor's internet postings in the fall of 2002, and after reading many of the sites where John was discussed, it amazed Oliver as how much polarization and confrontation John's posts caused. Oliver soon realized that part of the problem was that there was no one place where all the posts could be easily seen. So in early 2003, Oliver gathered these posts that John had left online, edited them in a single website. John, of course, was the alleged time traveler from the year 2036, who said some remarkable things that are posted on that website, johntitor.com. Oliver is our guest tonight on Coast to Coast. Oliver, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, George, I'm doing okay. Good to be back with you.
Good. Good to talk with you, too. After watching the continuing confrontation of this immigration situation and not knowing what direction, in which way it will head, a lot of people started emailing me, Oliver, talking about the predictions of John Titor and his thoughts of civil war in the United States. And then all of a sudden, lo and behold, I'm beginning to read some true news stories by reporters who are simply saying and surmising that if this thing isn't solved, it could lead to an internal civil war. Once I saw that, I said, my God, could Titor have been right? Whether he was a time traveler or not, whoever this guy was, he had an insight that at the time a lot of people didn't. What do you think of that?
Actually, George, I agree with you, because I have to admit, every time I see that myself in the news, it gives me the willies. Simply when I hear people talking about civil war for whatever reason, I immediately tune into it and I think, wow, that's awfully strange that it would happen now at this time when John said that was what was going to happen. And we are getting tons of email about that very, very thing. I'll tell you something else. I went back and looked at his posts, and he did get a question about the southwestern United States when he was here. He was specifically asked what happened there during and before the war. And his only comment was, Spanish is a lot more popular. And that was the one thing he said about that part of the United States. So, you know, I don't know. If you take that and maybe you add a little bird flu, who knows what's going to happen in the next couple of years.
Well, that's true. Let's talk a little bit more about what he said specifically about the overall Civil War. Did he say when it would occur, Oliver? And did he say how it could occur?
He said, actually, this is a big misconception. I think a lot of people look at what he said and sort of put their own meaning to it. What he exactly said is that the beginning of the Civil War in the United States would begin to manifest itself in 2004 and 2005. And then he specifically said that open conflict, where people would be aggressive and shooting at each other, would occur by 2008. So I guess we're kind of in that period now where if he's correct, then things would be building up and people would be getting more angry, and we might be headed toward that direction.
Well, and if you look at the years 2004, 2005 as the beginning of what he said could be the beginning of civil war, that doesn't necessarily mean all the mayhem will break out. What I interpret it to be is that we start to become more aware of the potential problem. And yes, indeed, we started talking heavily about immigration, illegal immigration, several years ago.
Oh, agreed. And even if you look back at our first Civil War, you know, that was not something that started overnight either. You know, you look back at some of the economic conflicts between the North and the South, and that was probably something that people saw coming for a few years before it started also.
You know, this is an incredible story, Oliver, that continues to just keep people's minds peaked. As you know, we had Larry Haber on, the attorney for the Titor family, about a month and a half ago. Legitimate guy, real attorney, seems to be very confused about the whole situation as well. He's handling the legal work as the family asks him to. Apparently, there could be a movie coming out about the life of John Titor. The whole thing is strange, very bizarre, but also more importantly, you know, whether time traveling exists in the future or not, and some of these individuals came back to our time period, I don't know, and I don't think anybody knows. But the bottom line is, again, is whoever this guy was who called himself John Titor, he came up with some pretty remarkable predictions.
Oh, I agree. As a matter of fact, George, when I first got the indication that It'd be interesting to have me on tonight. I thought you wanted to discuss the news story that just came out about Ronald Mallett, the physics or the university professor.
Right, who believes that time travel is possible.
Yeah, and he said time travel with humans is possible this century. And what struck me, and this is almost the same feeling I had when I first got involved with these posts, there was a paragraph in there where he talked about the grandfather paradox. And he said that, no, that's not a problem, because when you go back in time, you're actually going to a separate universe. And when you read that, it's almost verbatim what John said nearly 6 years ago. And at the time, nobody was even talking about that. I mean, everybody thought the idea of multiple universes and traveling around in time was absolutely ridiculous. And now we have scientists coming out spending money actually trying to prove that.
Let's assume for a moment that time traveling in the future does occur. And let's just assume that it's 2036, okay, for lack of a better name. It's 30 years from now. Who knows? Anything could happen. We've seen what technology has done in 10 years. So 30 years from now, let's say that mankind really develops time travel where human beings can go back into time. Do you think, based on just that, that it is possible, do you think they would come back to this time period, that someone like a John Titor would come back and do what he did?
You know, I'd have to say yes, I think that is possible. You know, if it's, you know, even the way John described it when he was using it, it's a fairly new technology. They'd only been using it for a few years. So maybe you wouldn't want to go back to where the dinosaurs were walking around the Earth. Maybe you would only want to use it in times where it was really, really required for your civilization. And that seems to be the criteria that John, in the future, when they were using this type of technology.
You know, Oliver, it would be just my luck if I were a time traveler. If I wanted to come back to the dinosaur era, I'd end up being in a nest of some pterodactyls or something like that. So, you know, that does have its dangers, because I would assume, like the movie The Time Machine and like Back to the Future, you really have no idea what the physical environment will be like when you arrive in that time period, do you?
Absolutely. In fact, John spoke about this at length, that they did an incredible amount of research to make sure that where they ended up, there wouldn't be a building there, there wouldn't be a forest there. Apparently, they spent a lot of energy making sure that they ended up in exactly the right spot at the right time.
Now, your gut tells you, do you believe that John Titor indeed was a time traveler? Give me some percents here, some odds.
You know, I'd go back and forth. I tell you, you know, up until this Roger Malan story or Ronald Malan story, I was leaning toward, geez, somebody sure told a good story. But then you see stuff like this and you go, how did they know? If you were to put something together like this, how would you know this stuff? And that's what's creepy about it. I mean, even if they're not a time traveler, what would explain how they could know all these things and lay them out like this for us? That's what bothers me.
You know, Oliver, when we open up our phone lines during special open lines on Friday nights, and we've opened up time traveler hotlines, and we've had some incredible calls come in, I have to tell you, every once in a while, I'll get a, you know, some of them are great entertainment. Some of them are people having a great time. But every once in a while, we'll get a call from someone who just comes across very legitimately and, you know, says the right things, and you just don't know. Because like UFOs, and whether they're traveling through space or not, I happen to believe they are, one has to assume that they're traveling with a propulsion system that we haven't developed yet. That's the only way they could get here. They can't get here conventionally, not the way we know it. And I think the same is true of time traveling. What might seem preposterous to all of us, time travel, come on now. It's a joke, it's funny, it's great entertainment, George. Give me a break. If you think about the future, anything's possible. And that's what's so exciting about this John Titor story.
Yeah, you know, I believe John makes the same example himself. He said, how do you go back in time before the jet engine was built? And explain to somebody that shortly after that period, you're going to be going to the moon. I mean, it would be nearly impossible to do that, even to somebody 75 years ago.
What's new on the John Titor plate these days? What's up
well,
with the website?
Well, we've added a couple of different interesting things to the website. The other thing that the other news story that popped up that sort of hit my radar was, did you see this university professor advocating world population be cut by 90%.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we were one of the first to come across with the story Sunday night. Everybody picked it up then on Monday morning, so we were fortunate enough to be able to jump on that story early. He has backed down a little bit, saying that some of the things he said were taken out of context. He didn't mean let's murder everybody. He simply meant that 90% of the world's population will probably wither away and die if we continue doing some of the things we're doing. Regardless of what he meant, that too was a frightening story.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's interesting, if you look at what's happening to him now, he is just getting hammered in the press. And personally, over some of those comments that he made. In fact, I understand the FBI started looking into him a little bit, too. But when you read the story, it reads just like something John would have said, because he was a big advocate of that also. And he made no bones about the fact that because of this upcoming war, the Earth itself is much better off. And we should seriously consider taking some sort of steps to making sure that the Earth is not damaged after that happens. So that caught me, and I put that up on the site, too.
You know, Oliver, if John Teeter is not a real time traveler, I got to believe the guy is a genius, a scientist, somebody with a tremendous background in physics, because the things he said that were posted on the website that are on johnteeter.com are absolutely uncanny.
Yeah, I agree, George, absolutely.
I'm going to keep you for some phone calls if you're available.
Oh, no problem. I'll be happy to do that.
We will do that. Yeah, your website, of course, johnteeter.com. And again, the reason I brought Oliver on tonight, Oliver is an expert in this very bizarre story of time traveler John Teeter. Those of you who are brand new to Coast to Coast, years ago, an individual by the name of John Teeter started posting on the Internet all kinds of things. He had to come back from the year 2036 because he needed to pick up an old IBM computer. He needed parts for an IBM computer that they still had, and it was running and functioning in the year 2036. That was the reason he came back. And IBM computer specialists continue to tell me, you know what, the things he said about this computer, absolutely true. So it's a bizarre story. Oliver, again, got involved in this when he started reading all these postings, and they were scattered all over the place. So he wanted to put them in one website in a very concise manner. He has done that with johnteeter.com. And again, one of the things that John Teeter wrote about in his postings was another civil war in the United States. And when you see this immigration story, maybe it's a lesson for all of us. Maybe we got to fix this problem before it really gets out of hand. We'll be back in a moment. We're going to open up the phone lines with our special guest this hour, Oliver Williams on Coast to Coast AM. Oliver, I got to tell you, this John Teeter story jams up the phone lines more than anything I've ever seen. I mean, people are fascinated with this guy. And it just won't go away, will it?
Nope. And, you know, I think a lot of people are looking forward to the next few years to see what else happens.
All right, let's go to the phones. We're not going to have a lot of time, so we'll take as many as we can. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George, this is Brian in Phoenix.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for calling.
I'm excited to get through tonight for the first time, especially with Oliver on. You know, with John Teeter, it's always really fascinated me. And there was something that always bothered me about John Teeter. You know, the physicists agree, or the ones that believe in time travel, they say that if a person can travel back in time to compensate for the grandfather paradox, mm-hmm. he would be in a different timeline. So if John Teeter did indeed come to our timeline, how could he know what our future would hold?
Well, the way John described it was that when you use the time machine, there's a certain amount of reasonableness about what it's going to look like when you get there. And he called the difference divergence. So he said it's never 100% accurate, but it's accurate enough that he could give predictions and that they would come to pass. As a matter of fact, if you look at exactly what he said, there were some major differences between where he came from and when he was here. For example, he said Y2K happened and was a huge problem where he came from. So it's not 100% and not an exact science. The other thing that which is kind of interesting, if you take the logic out for all of that, traveling around to these alternate universes, and even if you look at this article that just came out, you can never get back to where you started. If there's a little bit of an error every time you use the machine, you can never actually get back to where you started. So that was the other thing John said, too. He could never actually get back to the timeline that he left when, in the future.
Now, was he a army? Was he in the army or some sort of military person? Is that what I understand?
Yes. What he said was that he fought in the Civil War, and then he became, you know, it didn't sound like he was part of the organized army until the war was over, and then the army sort of drafted him, and then he got involved with the mission with the army because of that. You know, apparently, he had certain skills that they were looking for that particular mission.
This whole story is just very fascinating. It's like a, you know, like a brain puzzle to think about all these, you know, timelines and everything. But I appreciate you guys.
It is. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it. And you know, when I was talking to the attorney, Larry Haber, Oliver, and you heard that interview that night, he talked about how John Teeter, time traveler, met John Teeter, little boy, with his parents.
Right.
That was an
here.
Amazing story. Yes. Yep. Let's move on. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. It's your turn. You're on with Oliver Williams. Hi there.
Hello, George and Oliver. This is a kind of bizarre question. I was watching the movie X-Men 2. Is there any possibility John Teeter had a mutant power that made that permit him to travel through time?
But gee, that's an interesting question. I don't think so. You know, according to John, there was nothing unusual physically about him. Of course, he described time travel as being a little rough on the body, and you had to be ready for that. But other than that, I don't think he had any special powers.
Oh, okay.
All right, I appreciate you being on the program. Next up, East of the Rockies, your turn on the John Teeter story. Hi there.
Hey, thank you. This sure. is Kristen from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My question was sort of answered a minute ago. It was, okay, since you're on a different timeline when you travel back in time, so that means you can never return to the same timeline that you were on before you traveled backwards?
Exactly.
Okay. So, you know, if someone was to time travel, it'd probably be this, that they had no really close family then.
True, but also consider this. At the same time you're traveling back in the future, there's another version of you doing the same thing on the timeline that you return to. So there are not just multiple timelines, but there's multiple versions of you doing the same thing. So even if you didn't end up on exactly the right timeline where you left, another you would end up there that was so close, nobody would be able to tell the difference.
Wow, that's big.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate you calling. What are the possibilities that John Teeter somehow stumbled into our universe, that he was from another universe?
Well, you know, he described timelines. He actually called them universes, you know, multiple universes. But, you know, it seems to me that they had the ability to pinpoint where they wanted to go. You know, he said that the year 2000, 2001 was not part of his flight plan. He changed it in 1975 because he was supposed to go back from then. So apparently in mid-mission, you have the ability to pretty much go wherever you want to within a certain limits.
West of the Rockies, your turn. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah,
I got
three
questions for you. One, if they have that technology to build time travel machines, why couldn't they build it in the air so it hovers and you wouldn't have to worry about buildings landing on one, or send a probe back just ahead of you so you'd know what was there before you landed or got there?
Actually, in a way, that's what he did. Let's see, your first question, let me think about that for a second. If you built a machine that hovered, it might be hard to blend in with wherever you were going. So the way he described it is you would take your machine and you would put it into a vehicle that was appropriate to the time wherever you were ending up in case somebody saw you. And the way he described the technology was that there was some sort of a system that could measure differences in gravity the instant before they popped into wherever they were, and then it tripped some sort of an emergency system that wouldn't allow them to get there if there was a problem. So if you ended up in a world line where somebody, you know, built a house right where you're trying to go, there was a safety feature that kept you from going there.
Okay, that sounds good. One more question. At one point, didn't he say that when he traveled back in time, he was visiting his parents to straighten something out with his parents?
Yes, he alluded to that when he went back to 1975, that he came to the year 2000 and had something to do with interacting with his parents. And
right.
He didn't go into too much more detail than that, but yes, he did say that a few times.
Yeah, he said he needed to fix something or, you know, help him out or something. But he also said another time, I believe, that once you go to that time period, if you're changing something, you have to stay there to make it effective. So
in order for you to experience the effect, if you were to go back in time and alter something, it would not affect any other place that you went. You'd have to stay there in order for it to take effect.
Okay, then how could he go back to the future if he had to stay there to make it take effect?
Well, if he got he was bringing something back with him that was physical. So he was leaving his future, going back to the past, getting something physical, and then bringing that back to where he started.
And okay, that was I was referring to his parents, like if it was his health or something. If it was their parent, you know, if he was trying to change that.
Well, you know, the speculation is that whatever he did in 1975 was big enough so that the variation when he went back to the future would be enough that it would have been changed. And that's what people think what he was trying to fix.
And I guess their health is okay, because according to the attorney, all is well on the family front.
True, but, you know, again, what's different? They're not here, they're not someplace where they were supposed to be, and they're not, you know, they're moving around, and now Larry knows where they are, and apparently, I guess they're in Omaha. So whatever happened with John, they moved and went to that location.
What did he say about the Olympics? Because some people are saying he was wrong about that.
Yeah, he said there were no organized Olympics or no official Olympics after 2004. So again, this is one of those issues that we get email back and forth saying, well, he's obviously a fraud because the Olympics went off just fine. And other people are saying, well, the official Olympics after 2004 don't start until China in 2008.
Well, we'll find out. That's interesting. Wildcard Line, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good morning, gentlemen. My grandfather passed away in 1979, and I was with him a couple of days before he died, and he in and out of talking. Some of it made sense, some of it didn't. But he told me that he had met Orson Welles, and I said, oh, really? What was that like? And he said, well, it was kind of weird because he landed his airplane in my basement. And I thought, okay, well, he's going a little crazy here again. And we talked along, and finally I got out of him that it was only about 5 years previous to 79 that this supposedly took place. And last night when you were talking about all the stuff that Orson Welles had written that was so close to things that were going on now as far as technology and everything, it got me to thinking again, wow, maybe Orson Welles actually was a time traveler, and he experienced some of this stuff and then went back and wrote it in a way that wouldn't be exact to what it is now, but it would be close enough that we could parallel it with what's going on now. Do y'all have any comment about that?
Yeah, I agree with you. In fact, if you look at a lot of what Jules Verne wrote about, you know, the same thing is going on there. You know, he wrote about nuclear submarines before they came about. And it brings up another interesting point. You know, a lot of people ask, if there are time travelers, how come they don't show up on the White House lawn and tell us that they're here? And, you know, after thinking about this, it's the reason because, you know, they probably don't want the public attention. So if you were a time traveler and you did have something you wanted to say, that's probably exactly how you would do it. You'd go back, you'd maybe write some stories, and then you would leave, and then that would be remembered as the years went by.
You know, I've sometimes wondered, Oliver, if people like Leonardo da Vinci were visited, accidentally or otherwise, by time travelers who stumbled into them. Maybe they befriended them and told them a few things about the future, and that jump-started their brain to do some of the things that they've done.
Well, you know, in that vein, is it possible that John may have known that it would be popular like this, and actually people like you and me are actually furthering his goal in trying to get whatever it is he's trying to say out there?
That's possible, too. Absolutely. I mean, it is an absolutely unbelievable story that is so possibly believable. It just, as I said, it captures everybody's imagination. And sometimes that's fun, too. You know that, Oliver?
No, I agree. And, in fact, I think that's why I latched onto this.
Wildcard Line, welcome to the show. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Hi, I'm Alex. I'm from Miami.
Hello, Alex.
Hi, George. George, I wanted to ask your guest about this. I want to predict that our President Bush is going to be the one that will remove President Castro from Cuba. And I'm saying this is because you're going to see on the next 2 months, probably, United States invading Cuba. And the reason I'm telling you this, George, is because of this. Okay, there was a sabotage in the nuclear plant Turkey Point in South Florida 2 weeks ago. Now Castro is going to buy 32 military helicopters. And now today there was an incident where the Speaker of the House is really, really concerned about two American citizens being killed by Castro's military war boats in Florida. So this is what happened. Castro wants to destroy the United States by organizing riots in California to initiate a civil war. And the United States, our government is not going to allow that to happen. I want to ask Oliver, what is it that he believes about it? And if he has any information that something like that could happen soon.
Well, you know, I guess according to John, the good news is that whatever happens in the United States won't totally destroy us and our way of life. But, yeah, I have to admit, just based on what you said, you know, every day in the news we seem to be seeing more and more things that are accelerating toward, you know, some sort of bad news or bad outcome. And I guess, you know, 5 years ago, if you were to say that, it would probably sound very ridiculous. But now, heck, I don't know. You know, that may happen in a couple of months, and that I think is what's frightening about it.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate that. So there's a prediction. He says within 2 months we're going into Cuba. That's pretty dramatic all by itself. Next up, east of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George, and hi, Oliver.
Hello.
Back in October, George, it was either your show or Art's, you had a caller on open phone segment who claimed he was from 2036. He said he was in the military. He was a computer specialist who came back at this time to visit his ailing father. And you or Art.
Yeah, that was one of our Friday night shows.
Yeah, you guys actually asked him some real good qualifying questions, such as, were we still in Iraq? And he said, yes, that was our military base out of the Mideast. And he did say that the U.S. went through a civil war and that the population was trimmed down. And he did say that he knew John Teeter. He said that he actually called him a true patriot. And with him saying that he was in the military, I think that would be very possible. He just sounded very sincere and very realistic and very honest. And he said that time travel, just as in the military now, you could get almost like a hardship leave of absence to go back in time to visit family and friends in hardship cases. And I wondered if Oliver was aware of this phone call, and if not, if it's possible to go back in the archives and play it and maybe shed some more light on the whole John Teeter story.
God, if we could remember the date, we could grab it. Oliver, unless you were listening to that night, I don't think I've told you about that call.
No, I didn't catch that either, but there are a ton of websites out there. Just to name off a few, Time Travel Forum, Paranormal Net, the Time Travel Institute. If you go to any of those sites and look in their archives, there are lots of people who come forward claiming to know John or be John, and they are very good at deciding who's telling the truth and who's not. So I'm sure you could go on the Internet, and somebody is aware of that, and there'll be something on there about it.
Of everything that you've investigated with the John Teeter story, his predictions, his discussions of the future, is there any one thing, Oliver, that just sticks out with you that you find to be dramatic, amazing?
You know, I think, yes. What really perplexes me is that he made a lot of statements about physics and technology. And if any one of them were way, way off, it would be easy to dismiss everything. So I guess I'm kind of always on the lookout for one or two things that will really discount, you know, because physics, I have to imagine that physics is going to be the same in no matter what universe you're in. So if he's wrong about something major in physics, then I think that's what I'm kind of looking for.
Well, you know, he was right about what was going on at the CERN, C-E-R-N, in Switzerland,
yep,
as they were building this accelerator. He talked about that before anybody really knew about it, at least mainstream people.
Yep. He also said that Stephen Hawking would change his mind about many black holes. He talked about the Z machine before it happened, and now it turns out he's right about the grandfather paradox.
Well, he's either a time traveler, indeed, or he's a guy who's got a strong basis in science. It's one or the other.
Good talking to you, George. You're absolutely
right. All
right,
Oliver. Thank you, my friend. JohnTeeter.com, that's a website. Always fascinating information.